Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Not everyone can get in touch with us by calling the show. Thus, they end up getting a hold of us through email, Facebook, as Bill O'Brien would call Spacebook. And we had one of those that we received as well, talking about the opening game of the season from Andrew. And I just got it today, as a matter of fact. Where the heck is it here now? Send me his reply, and then I got to find him as to where his is. Here it is. There we go. Maybe all I have is this. It was actually rather long, thoughtful. Yeah, I sent him an email. Let me see here. And get to that. Oh, here it is. Here's the email right here. And it said, Steve, hope you're doing well. No mention of you here at all, Kev.
That's fine. It was directed to you.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. You know, I want to make sure you're included in whatever we do.
Appreciate that.
I know how important it is for you to feel like you're
needed, wanted, that sort of thing.
Sure. Okay. Steve, hope you're doing well. This is my second time writing you, as I would like to mention the offensive line and Herb Hand this go around. Everyone should know how... Okay. Wait, let's see. How the core of your team is your lines. Sorry about that, Andrew. I had to kind of read through a typo there. Without a line, you're basically a troubled offense or defense for that matter. Last year, Penn State followers knew that there would be a learning curve and things would be a struggle. A good coach has a plan, a backup plan, and an alternate in the game plan. In other words, adjusting on the fly. Let's discuss, if you're able to, the non-adjustment and or preparations of the Temple attack. We played well until the second quarter, and then all the coaches had a deer in the headlights look for the rest of the game. If anyone watched the Ohio State game Monday night, Virginia Tech's quarterback was knocked out of the game. Virginia Tech's line performed very well against an amazing defensive line in Ohio State. Hackenberg will get hurt this year if things do not improve. I love Franklin and everything he stands for, along with his positive attitude. I don't believe John Donovan is doing this team any justice to date. I hate to say that. However, there's been very little improvement, and quite frankly, that this is unacceptable. This is a snowball effect from ticket sales to Sandy Barber being put in a difficult position, potentially. On Saturday at halftime, there should have been a serious adjustment. For example, utilize the running back and or tight end screen similar to what O'Brien did when he faced the all-out blitz. This method, as you know, will keep defenses honest. If we see a continuous debacle on offense, Franklin knows the impact it will have with recruits, jobs, and pressure. Saturday should be a win. However, after that, nothing is taken for granted. This team needs to focus, and the coaching staff needs to focus. As always, keep up the good work, and we hope there is a turnaround. I speak for alumni and fans that the performance Saturday gave a bad outlook, and it felt worse than the dark days of the Joe era when they had losing seasons. Thanks, Steve. I will listen today to your thoughts sincerely, and then Andrew signed his name. Very thoughtful, without question. So let's get into it. Number one, he's right. The core of what you do in anything in football is your line. And what you have seen more and more over time from teams, and this is directly affecting the NFL. There was a really, really interesting article today on a topic we have discussed many times on this show, In the Wall Street Journal. Yes, Kevin, the Wall Street Journal does write about sports.
I'm aware. I actually read that, believe it or not.
Well, with your multi-million dollar investments, frankly, exactly. I'm not surprised. All right. And the article today was about quarterbacks. And, Andrew, I'm going to address all your points here. It was about the fact that the NFL is facing a quarterback crisis going down the road based on how they're playing the game in college today. And it is a point I have made, Kevin, how many times on this show about how you cannot how the NFL is having a devil of a time identifying quarterbacks. How many times have I talked about that?
Yeah, because they're running offenses that are nowhere near what the NFL runs.
Exactly. Not even close. Thus, they are not developing NFL-style quarterbacks. Almost every team. Let's take Baylor. When Baylor, you talk about all the points Baylor scores, right? What does Baylor's offense essentially not do? What don't they do? Okay. What they don't do is they don't really have to block a lot in the offensive line. Their offense takes the offensive line out of the mix, and they try to go as fast as they can so a defense can't set up with the formation and so forth. Baylor quarterbacks don't get sacked that often, the whole thing, because everything is bang, bang, bang. They play video game football, and that's how they play. Now, when they finally get into a tough rock'em sock'em game, they don't win that game because they are incapable of winning a tough rock'em sock'em game. They can't. They're not good enough and not tough enough. And so Andrew is absolutely right. The core of what you want to do, especially in how Penn State's trying to play offense, and this is with anybody that doesn't play video game football, that you have to have your offensive line. So Andrew is absolutely spot on, and you've got to come up with ways to at times take them out of the mix, which he is correct. That's why you'll see those bubble screens going. What does the bubble screen do? It's a catch by the quarterback, a quick pitch out with a blocker or two in front in the bubble. And that's how one way where you take the offensive line out of your scheme. And I think he mentions that as one of the options here. Running draws is a little bit difficult against a blitz team because they already have guys in the box to begin with. So you got to get them to do flybys. Moving the pocket does help, no question. Can't do it every time, but moving the pocket does help because then it gets them and floats the pocket and buys the quarterback a little time. It also gets the quarterback. Here's the other thing moving the pocket does. It also gets you outside the tackle box, which means what? If it's not there, you can throw it away, not take a sack, and just eat the down. Because you're outside the tackle box. He said the Virginia Tech's offensive line performed very well the other night. Actually, they did. And the game for Virginia Tech essentially was lost the second Brewer went out of the game. As soon as he went out of the game, I watched one more series of that game, and I was done. I said, this kid, he'll never be able to do it. They're done. They're finished. As for Donovan, you talk about making adjustments, and I will agree with you, Andrew. I didn't see adjustments in the second half. Okay, so are we square? We're on the same page there. So I think a lot of fans feel that way. I think the coaching staff feels they could have adjusted better in the second half. Okay, and they didn't really. It didn't happen. But it's also, in fairness to John, he's the one that made the adjustments in the second half of the Central Florida game. He's the one that made adjustments in the second half when they got shut out against Ohio State and scored 17 second-half points. He's the one that made the adjustments at halftime of the Boston College game as the offensive coordinator last year. So he has had, in games that Penn State fans have watched, made some of the adjustments you're talking about. Was it apparent in the opening game against Temple? I agree with you, Andrew. It was not apparent in the opening game against Temple. Okay? So we'll see. It's not as if he has not done it before as the coordinator. I decided those three games where they did it, it made a difference. Let's see. On Saturday, there should have been serious adjustments. For example, utilize the running back, tight end. Here's the other part, too. You mentioned utilizing the running back, Andrew. Let me expand upon your point there. Something that they worked on a lot, and it should be there, is the check down to the running back. Even under a blitz, you should be able to check down to the running back who should be past the first wave. And that's something they have worked on, but for whatever reason didn't seem to be there on Saturday. Utilizing the tight end. The tight end's got to help more as a blocker. Mike Gesicki's got to be a better blocker. Mike needs better technique when he blocks, without question. Mike is a good football player and a really good receiver. And I think an area that you can see, and Andrew, in your point about utilizing the tight end, you can take that tight end, especially on those rollouts we just talked about, and drag him and get him involved there. So let's see if they do that coming up. Let's see. As always, let's see. Team needs to focus, and coaching, you're absolutely right that about the focus. No question. Coaching staff needs to focus. Absolutely right about that. Announcer needs to focus. Absolutely right about that.
With each broadcast, there's hope.
Well, I don't know. People after 16 years are like, I don't know.
It's just not going to get any better.
He's just the same guy all the time. So, Andrew, I hope that answered some of your concerns. And he always listens in the opening hour, so that's why I emailed him back and said, what hour do you listen to? Or half hour do you listen to? And he always listens in the opening hour. So I hope that answered some of which I just sat back and went, yeah, I see your point. It's their 14th game as a staff. And the issue is that you go into that opening game, and look, I walked out of training camp. I felt good about what I saw in training camp. I really did. You know, did I think it was an undefeated football team? Absolutely not. But did I think they were going to lose that game? No. I didn't think they were going to lose the opener. And you as fans didn't either. Why would you? They haven't beaten Penn State in 71 years. James Franklin will be on the show tonight, by the way. 6:05 to 7. He'll probably be on about 6:15, 6:20, somewhere in that neighborhood. Andrew, I hope that answered that. You brought up some excellent discussion points for us to contemplate. I appreciate that and your thoughtfulness very, very much. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, Shade Mountain Winery, huh? Isn't that good? Great job there. All right. Next half hour, we'll preview for your Warrior run at Milton. We'll have Steve Williams on the show for that. Matt Cotrillo is going to be joining us. Montoursville plays at Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley. Warrior run at Milton will be on 1380 WMLP. Dave Ritchie and Kevin will preview Shikellamy at Jersey Shore. They'll be on WKOK. Last year, Kevin's bulletin board material propelled Jersey Shore to an undefeated season.
And they love me up there because of that.
Absolutely. And Sealands Grove plays Mount Carmel this weekend. We have a little issue there only because one is a doctor's appointment. I think Ryan and Pat got into a meeting at work. You're like, hey, excuse me. Like, come on.
Yeah, can't you reschedule the both? I mean, do you really have to do a regular job? I mean, come on.
I mean, if either one of them can make it, we'll have a month to preview that. And Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News will join us at 4:06 today to talk about the Bulls and the opener, the home opener with Penn State at Beaver Stadium. He'll join us at 4:06 today.
Actually, I think I changed that around on you and didn't tell you. Because I am just a poor producer for you. Actually, I have Audrey Snyder from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at 4:06. I think I double booked.
We'll see if we can get Mark to move to 435. So I will,
it's usually a good idea to inform the host of the show, the actual program log, but, you know, it's a...
We will text Mark, and we'll see if Mark can accommodate us, and we'll make it work. Okay? Fair enough?
Thank you.
So we will take care of that. And quick text, and we'll make it work for you at 435 with Audrey Snyder coming on from the Post-Gazette at 4:06 today. And James Franklin will be on the show tonight as well. I also have had to make sure that tonight, and I will say this with all due respect, I never once have gone to the cross-country website at Penn State before in all the years it's been there. But the Spike Shoe Invitational is coming up, and the cross-country coach for the Nittany Lions will be on the show this evening. Again, we'll freely admit, quick show of hands. How many of you have looked at the cross-country website on gopsusports.com? Come on.
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, I know they have a team. I mean, my goodness, Harry Groves would remind me of it all the time. Hey, how about the Penn State baseball team? They're going to go to Cuba. Did you know that?
I did hear about that. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, no, they're going to need some money to do this, but they're going to Cuba the week of Thanksgiving to play 3 or 4 exhibition games, but they're also going to be going down there to, it's all part of a cultural exchange as well. That'll be a lot of fun for them. I think that's great, and they're excited about that. ESPN getting some heat from college commissioners and athletic directors about cover alerts on ESPN broadcasts. A cover alert. In other words, Ohio State's not, you know, is in the trouble of not covering the spread against Hawaii this week. You'll get a cover alert. Really? It's your money. You're not smart enough to know what the score is? Guess who the number sports was last week in America? By a wide margin, too, I might add.
I don't know.
They spent $23 million they spent in advertising last week on sports. DraftKings.com. They were number one. AT&T was second. But DraftKings just got a $300 million infusion of cash, courtesy of Major League Baseball, the MLS, and others. How about that? They spent $23 million, DraftKings did, on sports advertising last week. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Penn State's eroding academic integrity? Did Dr. Walter Brash finally catch up with Com 477 and find out who the clown is that teaches that?
I don't know.
I thought I could fool Walter for longer. I feel awful now. The jig is up. It's up. Well, I hope that Dr. Walter Brash spells my name right.
It's a difficult one to learn to spell.
All right. That'll be on tomorrow's show. Boy, Wakeman's working long hours. Gee whiz. Okay. Let's get to high school football. Warrior Run's going to play at Milton. Steve Williams will have the call on 1380 WMLP. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so plus pro and con, what did you see the opening week?
Milton looked a lot better than I was anticipating. We weren't sure what we were going to see with the youngsters that had gotten some experience. We saw some outstanding play by a couple of players, Brent Engelman especially, on defense. Hunter Snyder really didn't throw the ball. Brandon Stokes played probably, the game we expected him to play. He's going to carry that team on his back. Raph Rodriguez had a good game. Raph is the speedster to Brandon Stokes' power running game. The Black Panthers were ahead for a while, but their old nemesis of penalties and special teams came back to bite them. They went the whole first half without any penalties, and in the second half, everything just kind of fell off. It really hurt them in two particular drives that stopped them. They had a kickoff when they went up by two touchdowns, return for a touchdown by Troy, and that really just kind of took them off the rails, and it was Troy's game after that, and Troy came back. Came from behind to beat them. So Milton is there. They showed that they can be there. They've got to learn how to win again. They went through this a couple years ago, and George Goodwin taught them how to do that. This group needs to learn that again.
I've been around teams where the margin of error is not very big. And if they stray anywhere outside the margin of error, things go south. Is that where they are right now? The margin of error is rather thin at the moment.
I would say there probably is no margin of error. They started the season off with 32 kids in uniform. They lost one early in the season for the season. They may have lost another one on Friday night to a blindside hit on a punt return. He was on the crutches with his knee in ice, so I would suspect not this week. And they had to get the thing checked out, so, not sure. So they may be down to 30 dressed kids. And wow. So they have... They really have no margin of error as far as bodies go. As far as on the field goes, they're not a flashy team. They're 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They cannot come from behind by large amounts because they're just grinding out every play. Their drives are very long. They had probably no more than two or three plays more than 15 yards on Friday night. So they've got to get that lead. They've got to kill the clock with their long drives. So they really have very, very thin margin of error there.
Finally, Steve, what is your read on Warrior Run?
Well, they had a lot of hope going into the season. Warrior Run, they've had some tough years here the last several years. They've had a tough go of it. They got a new coach a couple years ago, and they've played improved football, but... I don't know. They get some big kids, and they've got to fill in, and they've kind of been everybody's homecoming game. That was the only game Milton won last year. I think they're hoping to win it this year after Warrior Run got beat up pretty bad by Muncie. So, Milton's hoping to get on the winning side, but they don't want the season to go like last year where that's the only one. They need to get a couple more this year for this group.
All right, Steve, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Best of luck with the call tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. You too.
All right. That's Steve Williams. Will be calling Warrior Run at Milton on 1380 WMLP. Also coming up tomorrow night on Eagle 107, Sealands Grove will be taking on Mount Carmel. Pat O'Brien will have the call. Hi, Pat. Thanks. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here on a rainy Thursday, getting ready for a big Friday night of football.
Absolutely. Okay, give me a read pro and con about Sealands Grove from the opener as you took it.
Well, the great thing I saw was a sophomore quarterback getting his first full off season to prepare for an opener. That's Logan Leiby came in, and he threw a pick early on, but the growth in him is that he bounced back under good coaching and realized, hey, it was a mistake that was made, but he bounced back. On the night he ended up throwing two touchdown passes, he did have two picks to go along with it, but just the way he handled the interceptions and bounced back was huge. Big question going in was the offensive line, and they ended up having a big night with helping Angelo Martin go for 179 yards on 29 carries. So those are the two big bright spots there. I heard Steve Williams talking about some penalties in his games, and that probably was the part that needs to be corrected the most with Seals Grove, is just cutting down on the unnecessary penalties as the game went along.
When you have a sophomore, down is the offense to allow him to get into game speed as the season goes?
I'm sorry, I missed that first part of that, Steve.
Yeah. When you have a sophomore quarterback, how pared down is the offense as the season goes?
Well, I'm talking to Derek Pope, the offensive coordinator, and he's in his first spot as the offensive coordinator, and he told me that you know, they're taking this thing slowly. He didn't put a lot in at the beginning, so he still has a lot that he can add to it. So in terms of how it's being done for a sophomore quarterback, he indicated that they're going to take it very slow, let him develop his game around that, gain the confidence he needs to use the personnel around him and change in formations, but not asking the sophomore quarterback to do more than what he's capable at this point. So they're working together to do it in a way that's only going to allow him to gain more confidence and stay within what he's capable of doing, and then let the growth happen as the year going along. I mean, Seals Grove just has a lot of personnel around him, so you don't need to press the quarterback too much. A big example of maturity for him and understanding was earlier in the game when he did have the one pick. It was on a 4th-and-3. He tried to force something in inside the red zone through an interception, and then later on he had the same situation. This time he tucked it away, picked up the 4 yards, got a first down, and lived for another play. So, you know, they're working together and letting the growth happen as the season goes along, and we're going to see that, I think, in a big way as the season picks up into the middle and then towards the end.
With Pat O'Brien, you'll have the call on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. What's your read on Montoursville?
They had Mount Carmel, just to clarify that.
Mount Carmel.
Yeah. The big conversation.
And the numbers at Mount Carmel have been pared back over the years in terms of the number of players they have.
The big thing with Mount Carmel is numbers. You know, everyone's talking about that with a lot of changes over the past offseason, that they lost a lot of numbers. Some kids transferred, some kids decided not to play. So that's the big conversation. But I tell you, for first-year head coach Derek Hicks, the job of him and his coaching staff is to make his team realize that, you know, they're still playing a very historical football program in Mount Carmel. They're still going to come and tackle and hit and do these different things. So a game that you think Seals Grove would feel very confident about going into, but not one that you want to see slip away because you're overly confident and not taking care of, you know, all the basics that you need to, and, you know, and running, tackling, and just not making mistakes. So Mount Carmel, you know, they have a young quarterback, freshman quarterback in Ayers. He only threw the ball 6 times, 1 completion a week ago, ran for 75 yards. And then they rely on a big fullback in Kuricki, who did go for 60 yards on 16 carries. So there's, you know, they have some guys who are capable of putting up some numbers, but you would think Seals Grove going in feeling very confident might have to try to get on them quick and try to, you know, take any thoughts of an upset away as Seals Grove plays home tomorrow against the Red Tornadoes.
That's right. Seals at home tomorrow on Eagle 107 with Mount Carmel. Pat O'Brien, appreciate it. Have a great call tomorrow night.
You too. Thank you, Steve.
All right, Pat O'Brien with us. We transition now to Shikellamy at Jersey Shore. Dave Ritchie joins us on the line. Dave, welcome back. Same thing. I know they did not win last week. I mean, in fact, Lewisburg won it, and they won it impressively. Pro and con on Shikellamy.
Well, I know that they're very disappointed with their line play, and that was a disappointment for Shikellamy. Lewisburg did exactly what their coach said. They pushed us around. And I call it, they got separation on the blocks. And with between some missed assignments and also just not blocking properly, we really couldn't do much. The bad part was we lost a fullback and an outside backer to a concussion, and an inside backer to an ankle. And after that, it just seemed like the entire team, the air went out of them. So, you know, I've coached a lot, and there are times when the younger kids or the kids that are there when somebody, when you're depending on somebody, all right, when somebody, when you know, you're, and they get hurt or they can't play, then you have to take on that challenge. And I think Coach Tilford's looking for some players that will do that. So that's the bad part. The good part is the fact that their offense, they can throw the ball, and they had a couple of long runs. And on those runs, the blocking assignments were done properly and effectively. So it's not, I mean, it was 21-14 and Shikoni driving, and I think a turnover, a fumble, and a quick touchdown. Now it's 28-14 late in the third quarter, and that's pretty tough to come back, especially when your offense wasn't responding as you'd like it to.
Okay, defensively, though, what do they need to tie down, Dave?
They got to get physical. They got to tackle. That's something. It's a lost art, I think, in high school football. They have to tackle. And I've been to practice twice this week, and I watched the line coaches, and I watched the linebacker and the back coaches, and I'm telling you, they put them through drill after drill on executing their keys and tackling. And it's not for a lack of effort. It's just that now it's up to the kids. They're the ones that have to get the job done. And it's going to be a big challenge for them as they head up to Jersey Shore. My football coach in high school, and I coached from Dick Cornell, always said you make your biggest improvement from your first to your second game. Or he would say, you're not as bad as you think you are, or you're not as good as you think you are, go back and look at the tapes. So, you know, not having that opportunity, I'm to look at the tapes, I think that we will be a better team. Even though we're going to be lacking two key starters, I think the coaches instilled in those kids that, hey, listen, we don't have them, so now everybody else is going to have to work. And I'm hoping that that shows the way, because Jersey Shore has a huge defensive front four, and they really have a quality line. Their defense caused a lot of turnovers in their game with Belfont, and the offense sputtered, but the defense helped to give the offense a short field. So they're going to be challenged very much by going up to Jersey Shore, even though they did lose a couple of key players on offense last year.
Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm standing here in the rain getting ready to have a soccer match. If you tell me that playing soccer in the rain is fun, I'll tell you what to do with that, all right? Oh, my God.
All I would say to that is, au contraire, mon frère.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Giving me a chance to talk. You have a good day. All right, bye now.
You too, my friend. All right, that'll be on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow night at 7 with a 6:30 airtime. Lewisburg won that game over Shikellamy last week. They've got Montoursville this time at home, and it'll be on 100.9 The Valley. Matt Cotrello will call the game. Matt, from your point of view, what worked last week?
Well, Steve, I think the big thing with this last week is Lewisburg came over a lot of adversity. You know, they came out, took the lead. Shikellamy tied the game up, took the lead again. Shikellamy then tied the game on that crazy halfback pass that burned them in the game last year, and that lost them the game. And then they had that weather delay, and then it was basically a 45-minute delay when you add in the halftime and all that. Then they played the last 2 minutes of the half, and then they played into the third quarter and the rest of the game. So for them to be able to overcome that, and when that weather delay came, they were in the middle of a great drive, too. They had a big play to Noah Inch down the seam. They were at about the 21-yard line, and then it happens. They were able to sustain that momentum, able to turn it into a touchdown, and then they scored 24 unanswered points after that. So I think the fact that they dealt with all that adversity already in week one, dealing with, you know, the early jitters of getting back on the playing field, I think that's really going to help them in what is going to be an absolutely critical game this week against Montoursville, because now with the injury to Nick Becker, the quarterback for Southern Columbia, who is the defending champion in the HAC Division II, you know, we'll see how far he actually is out with the injury to his non-throwing shoulder. But if he's out a long period of time, that puts the winner of this game in the driver's seat for this division, because you're looking at these two teams in Montoursville and Lewisburg. They're next in line to Southern Columbia. So a win for either team in this game puts him in that position for the rest of the season, depending on what happens with Becker and Southern Columbia.
Last week, we portrayed the size of Shikellamy up front to the quickness of Lewisburg. In the end, how quick did Lewisburg look?
Very quick. Very quick and athletic. You clearly saw that in the second half once they got the momentum going. And as we said last week, if Lewisburg was able to get the offense rolling, get the ball moving through the air, they let Dominic Farinato run loose. He had 110 yards on the ground, two touchdowns last week. And even his brother Dylan got involved with a big touchdown reception. Then Lewisburg was going to run away with this one, and that's exactly what happened.
Matt, great call in the opener, and I know how excited you were. To get out there and do this, and everybody was thrilled with it. And good luck tomorrow night, Montoursville and Lewisburg, a big one early in the schedule because of how the conference is playing out. It'll be on 100.9 The Valley. Matt, thank you.
Steve, thanks so much, and good luck on your call on Saturday with Penn State.
Appreciate it, Matt. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Dave Ritchie. He'll have the call with Kevin tomorrow night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As Shikellamy will be in action at Jersey Shore, 7 o'clock, 6:30 will be the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Cotrillo will have the call on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night. Lewisburg at home taking on Montoursville. Pat O'Brien will have the call as well on Eagle 107, as Selins Grove will be at home against Mount Carmel. And Milton, Steve Williams, we'll have the call. They'll be back at home tomorrow night for their opener as well. So it's another big weekend of big Friday night of high school football here in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations.
Next week in Milton will be the Tomato Bowl, which will be part of the Milton Harvest Festival as North Penn comes to town. That's next Friday night.
Maybe we should go. Since it's part of the big festival, they won't miss you at Shikellamy.
They have a parade as well.
Here's a chance for us to be the Grand Marshals.
Unfortunately, I was originally scheduled to host that parade, but I will be on the way to Cornell. Sean Carey will be hosting the parade on SECB8.
Ah, there we go. A little upgrade. Good.
Whoa! Hey, I'm in the room here, you know.
Never stopped me before.
Good point.
Audrey Snyder, Post-Gazette, coming up next half hour on Penn State football. Mark Gaughan has agreed to move to 4:35. We appreciate that very much from the Buffalo News. So we'll get Penn State side. We'll get Buffalo in the final hour of the show today. And then Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Ruben Amaro got fired today.
Gone.
For some reason, there appears to be no shock in the village over this.
And
no huts were burned down in protest.
No, but there was a lot of celebration and parties in those huts.
Well, you know what? You could celebrate all you want, but you better now hire somebody who can. You are not a poor franchise.
You are correct.
You are not one of the bottom five money producers. Hey, you are one of the top seven or eight money producers. You have cash. You should not be in last place. Neither should the Red Sox, but that's...
We'll get into that another time.
At least they won 2 years ago.